Phil Henry.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. We have so many exciting things going on behind the scenes, but as I said during our pre-show, if you have a backstage pass, we start our video cast early. We start Phil TV at 9:15 Pacific. That's 15 minutes after midnight on the East Coast. That's when we begin our pre-show. And then we go on the air, and we are broadcasting on radio as well as video casting or Phil TVing. And I said to the backstage pass members, I said, there's so much stuff going on. I don't want to be specific. I don't want to misstate, but we've got a lot of really cool things that are going to be happening here in the next 6 months. I'm telling you, it is going to be epic in every sense of that word. So you have to join us at philhenryshow.com so you will have a box seat, man, for what's about to happen. Because it's going to be very, very cool. And we hope you can join us for that at philhenryshow.com. Our podcasting has been interrupted a little bit. We've got some podcasts that are going to be rolling out. But that, too, is part of some of the major announcements that we're going to be making. So just trust me on this. And
you don't want to say nothing because you want people to be disappointed.
No, it's not that I don't want people to be disappointed. I don't want to say anything for fear I will misstate or overstate or understate. And I made that mistake once before. I ain't going to make that mistake again. I'm not going to sit here and just...
People need to know some good stuff coming up.
Yes, good stuff is coming up. All right, 877-876-7445. And off air with Margaret Gray here a moment ago, the GMO labeling here in California. And we're going to have Frank Gray on the line. Frank's coming on?
Yes, Frank is going to come on. Frank wants to sing a tribute to me, his wife. You know, Phil, I don't know why you're upset with people singing. I think it's a wonderful way to express opinion.
Well, all right. I mean, I don't mind you singing, but Larry sucked. How good is Frank going to be?
You know what? Can a husband sing about his wife?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
Can a husband sing about the wife that he loves? Phil, certainly you wouldn't begrudge me that.
Not at all. You're absolutely right. Can I say something?
What?
He has gender confusion.
We'll cross that. Frank, my husband, ladies and gentlemen, Frank, has gender confusion. It's as the result of untreated neurosyphilis. Now, I know that sounds very bad, but it was when he was much younger, and Frank has a very sharp mind. He's a very successful man. But he gender confuses. So when he means her, he says him.
Yeah, and when he means him, he says her.
Exactly. So keep that in mind as Frank sings the song he's going to sing. But it's a lovely tribute, and I'm very touched by it.
All right. GMO is genetically modified. What does the O stand? Dan and I were talking about it. But what it basically means here is there is a ballot initiative here in the state of California where there are two sides that are arming up and lawyering up and all that other jazz, all that other really heavy-ass talk. And there's one side that wants to make sure that food is labeled genetically modified. I happen to be in that camp. And
why?
Why? You got to be kidding me.
Well, Phil, these are hard-working, and a lot of the genetically modified foods are the very delicious... some of them are the very delicious parsley, the very delicious cilantros, the cabbages, and so forth. And these are grown by the very small, organically, proper people. You know what I mean by that?
No, I don't know what you mean by that, organically proper.
Your friend Dean Wheeler?
What are you talking about? These are like people that are back-to-the-earth types?
A lot of them are, yes.
Well, what we're talking about is this. There are foods that are genetically modified. A lot of them are fruits and vegetables. There is a group that wants them to be labeled as such, and there's another group that doesn't. I happen to be in the group that I don't care. You better tell me, man. You better tell me.
Yeah, but all you gotta do is mess stuff up.
Whoa, wait just a second. Mess stuff up. If a guy is growing an apple, and he decides... By virtue of the fact that he has certain knowledge on how to make the apple bigger or whatever it is he wants to do.
Well, what would you do to an apple, Phil? Why would you genetically modify an apple if not for any other reason than to make it larger and sweeter? And perhaps, and I'm only saying perhaps, and perhaps it can decide when it wants to be picked.
You get out of here with that.
I'm just telling you.
Did an apple do that? That was Jeremy.
No, an apple can't do that.
Well, what? How do you know?
What, will you get real here for a minute? Boy, that's even more grotesque than anything I could possibly... The apple decides when it wants to be picked. I'm just telling you this. If any farmer out there or any large, large company...
Oh, God, ever since you saw Michael Clayton...
Well, no, it isn't about Michael Clayton. Michael Clayton, by the way, folks, that's a great movie. You should see it.
Yeah, that's all about a big farmer poisoning people.
No, it wasn't. It was about a big corporate farming and how it can be. It was another one of these movies that I suppose you could say, well, George Clooney is in another one of these movies where, you know, the corporation is evil and the individual person is being beat into the ground by the corporation. But it was a very good movie. It was very well acted. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, so what do you say? Monsanto is the big bad guy?
No, I'm not saying anything. I'm saying, you know, time marches on, and we, you know, I'm sorry that's how we get our food now. There's corporate farming. I'm telling you, though, I will not be steamrolled. I'm very emphatic as a voter and as a consumer. I will not eat food that has been genetically modified unless you tell me. I want that labeled.
Well, what are you going to do about it, huh?
What's
Phil going to do about it? If they want to feed, what are you going to do? Are you going to starve?
Yeah, I'll starve. How do you like that? I'll go on a hunger strike. Everybody, listen to me right now.
Phil, don't listen to Phil. Don't listen to Phil. Don't listen to...
Shut up, Margaret. Everybody listen to me right now. In California and any other state where they want to push genetically modified food down your throat and they don't want to at least tell you that it's been genetically modified, I say I'll lead it. We go on a hunger strike. I mean it. We go on a hunger strike.
Yeah, well, you gotta go on a hunger strike until you die.
Maybe I will. I feel very strongly about this. Maybe I will. I will lead any voters that want to join me on a hunger strike right on the steps of any capital you want to, like Sacramento. That's a good one.
What about like Helena, Montana?
What do you mean Helena, Montana? What about it?
Well, that's the capital of a state, isn't it?
Yeah, but so what?
Well, what about there?
Well, it's fine. I mean,
a lot of farming in Helena, Montana.
Okay, Helena, Montana. I mean, I just thought maybe, you know, Sacramento's a little more visible.
Boy, that's kind of racist of you and everything.
How's that racist, bud? What the hell are you talking about? How is that racist?
Well, you're being very exclusionary, you know?
Well, so, all right, any state, just never mind these people. Pay no attention to the people behind the curtain.
What's that mean?
It's from Wizard of Oz. All right, now... You join me, and we will go on a hunt. I'm telling you right now, I there's not a lot that I demand. I'm a very laissez-faire guy, but nobody's feeding me food. I love vegetables. I love fruits. I eat a lot of them, especially since I've been on this diet. I'm a big banana eater. I'm a big strawberry eater. I'm, you know, lettuce, salads, all kinds of jazz like that. And, Jack, if I'm eating a salad and it's been genetically modified by Dr. Frankenstein and Igor, you know, I want to know, you know.
Did you think that's what they're doing?
But what's with the worried look on his face?
Well, he's worried about now if you say Frankenstein.
No, it ain't Dr. Frankenstein, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, I mean...
Don't worry about it, bud. Don't worry. Just take it easy. Take it easy. God.
Well, you have scared him half to death with all of your talk. Bud, there's nothing to worry about. This is government regulated.
Oh, well, there we go. Government regulated. So you don't mind that kind of government regulation, but the government regulation that says let's go ahead and label it and let's tell people this has been genetically modified, you're against that.
Because it hurts the small farmer, Phil. I'm all about the small farmer. I'm all about that. That is what I am about. That is what, when I get out of bed in the morning and I look in the mirror and I see a woman, I'm about farmers. I'm about small farmers, you know?
What's that mean?
What do you mean? What does it mean? I'm about that.
Yeah, I agree with Bud. What does that mean?
It means I'm all about, I'm all about farmers.
Well, it's not like you sleep with them.
You know, if it weren't for the fact that you've already called me a racist tonight, I would bury my right fist in your face.
Margaret, when you say you're all about farmers, you're almost begging the question, what are you talking about? Naturally, he took it to sex.
Naturally. I have to remember that when I come on this program. All the classes out the window, All the taste is out the window. Treating me, can we get my husband on the line, please?
Yeah, we're going to get him on. He's going to sing a song.
Yes.
All right, Frank Gray is next to sing his love tribute to Margaret. But you remember what I said, folks. Wherever you are, I mean, it's not a lot to ask. It's not a lot to ask. You know, there's labels on cigarettes, you know.
No, you say it'll going to give you cancer?
No, I'm not saying it'll give. I want to know what the hell they did. For thousands of years, man has grown food, and he has said, here's the food that I grew, and it came off of this tree, or it came out of the ground, and hey, this is my food. And I grew it, and I knew that this is what I was doing, you know.
Well, Phil, people have been genetically modifying food for years.
Well, hold on now. What we did as hunter-gatherers, and then when we started farming, where we would, you know, we would encourage the kinds of foods that we liked out of the very soil of the earth is one thing. It's another thing entirely to take that food into a laboratory.
Well, I don't think they're taking them in a laboratory.
Well, however they're doing it. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Frank Gray coming up next. Here, look at this. See that, bud? Oregon farmer eaten by hogs.
If that's what they're doing, they've got to do it.
Why are you scaring him?
I'm screwing around, bud. They're not going to do that.
They don't want to be eaten by a hog or nothing. Is that what they mean by a genetically modified hog?
No, it's not a genetically modified hog. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
You
Phil Henry Show.
You scared him to make your point. What a cheap, dirty, lousy, creepy trick.
World-famous okay. Phil Henry Show.
Frank Gray has joined us from Santa Monica tonight. Frank, how are you?
Young man, I'm better than Custer. How about you?
I'm doing great. Margaret is here.
Hi, honey.
Frank, I can't tell you how much I'm touched by you wanting to sing this song for me.
Well, you know, Phil, there's a lot of things that Margaret does that drives people crazy. I know it, you know it, but when the chips are down, he is... a terrific woman and a great mother, and I think he deserves a break. I know that he comes off as a little scatterbrain, but he's made me happy for 50, 60...
Well, Frank, we've been married 40 years.
40 years this last August, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, 1972. And I will tell you this, that... I want to sing this song to Margaret. It's the Tom Jones song. It's Margaret's favorite. It's called He's a Lady, and it goes something like this. Sorry about the volume there.
Okay.
Yeah. And two, three. Yeah. Well, he's all you'd ever want. He's the kind they want to, they play and take it to dinner.
Two.
Well, he's always knows his place. He's got style. He's got grace. He's a winner. Yeah. He's a lady. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He's a lady.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about that little lady. Yeah. And the lady is mine. Hey. Well, he's never in the way. Always something nice to say. Oh, what a blessing. I can leave him on his own, knowing he's okay alone. Where's the dressing? Is that the line?
No, Frank, stop it.
I missed the script. Isn't it, the line is something about oil and vinegar dressing, isn't it?
No, darling, it's about... No, it's not about dressing. Where is the...
Hold on, let me turn the TV up. Jason, turn that crap down, will you? I don't care. If your mother was here, he'd go nuts. He wants to look at this Cinemax. She wants to look at Cinemax.
Not that Spice Channel.
Yeah. I'm talking to your mother, and he says you can't do it. So she wants to look at that.
You tell Jason J. Delmonico I don't want you looking at that filth.
But I don't understand, Mom. I mean, these are the biggest breasts that I've ever seen in my life.
I don't want you watching that filth.
Yeah, I told you. Okay, here we go. Let me just go ahead and take it from the top. Bud Dickman. Whoa, he's a lady, and the lady is mine. Yeah, well, he never asked for very much, and I don't refuse him.
Okay, I can't take it anymore, you know.
What's wrong?
Hold on. What are you doing, Phil? What are you doing?
I got to let my audience know what's happening here, you know.
What happened?
Hold on, Frank. Put him on hold, please. Put Frank on hold. What are you doing?
I got to let my audience know there's people tuning in and tuning out at any given moment, and I got to let them know what the hell's going on. They got a guy singing He's a Lady.
They know it's Frank.
I don't know that they know it's Frank.
Well, I was enjoying it, and I was listening to a husband making love by way of song to his wife, and you messed it up.
All right, Margaret, I'm sorry. Hey, Frank.
What'd you do to my wife? What did you say to him?
Nothing.
Well, you must have said something to him, because he's crying.
You know what it was?
Frank, it's nothing. I got emotional over the song, and we want you to start all over again, because there was some distraction here in the studio and everything like that. And so, if you just start all over again, Frank, can you do that for me, darling?
I'd be happy to do that. What do you want me to do with Jason Dave Delmonico, because she's...
You don't know the name of our own son, Jason J. Delmonico.
Oh, it's Jason J. Delmonico. I thought her name was Jason Dave Delmonico. All these years, Phil. 14 years. How about that? Hey, Jason?
Yeah, Dad?
I thought your middle name was Dave.
Yeah, I know. I kept telling you it's Jay.
How do you like that? Boy, don't I feel like the horse's ass. All right.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, darling, and sing the song, She's a Lady.
There it is. There's the song, She's a Lady, by Dave.
All right, you folks, he's got gender confusion.
Well, he's all you'd ever want. He's the kind you'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. And then he comes home, strips his underwear off.
Okay, that's it. That's it.
Well, what did you do?
Not going to listen to his dirty lyrics, okay? I'm not listening to that.
Yeah, tell Frank that I'll be home soon, and we can have a nice long talk about Mr. Hendry and what he's been doing here and how he butchered up Frank's song.
Frank butchered his own song up.
In what way?
Then I take her home and he...
No, he said I'll take him home.
Well, whatever. And off comes his underwear.
That's pretty funny if you think about being a guy the way he does, a confusion of the gender.
Yeah, that's real funny, man. The problem is 90% of the audience is out there scratching their you-know-what.
Well, like scratching their crotch?
Yeah. And they go, what the hell are you talking about, and what the hell is he singing about? He's a lady.
Well, I thought it was lovely.
All right, well, that's very nice. Thank you very much, Frank, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are. This is the most disgusting story that I have seen in quite some time. I'm doing my Bill Dance impression there.
Who's he?
He's that fisherman, you know, that he's always selling lures on TV. And everything this guy sells, no matter what it is, he always says, this is the best thing that I've seen in quite some time. It can be a lure. It can be a fishing pole. It can be anything. It's the best thing he's ever seen in quite some time. All right. Authorities are still trying to determine what happened to a farmer near Riverton, Oregon, who apparently was eaten by his hogs. This is now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that it is it appears as if he was already dead. That was not the cause of his death, that the man had had some kind of an attack, some kind of a heart attack, and fell into the pen.
What do you mean, like the federal pen?
The federal pen.
Well, what are you talking about?
The hog pen.
Oh, sorry.
The federal pen. Yeah, the federal pen for hogs.
Yeah, I've been finding out a hog prison. Yeah, they do have a hog prison. Wherever you go to prison, that can be for a hog.
Oh, man, the hog prison be for you, fatso.
I'm not that fat.
You have put on some weight, bud. All right, we'll be right back. Oh, no, we're not breaking yet. Okay, so an Oregon farmer who apparently was eaten by his hogs. Whether the animals attacked him or he collapsed inside the pen is unknown. Well, you know, that's how a writer for the AP decided to make this an interesting story and get it moved along the national wires. We'll talk a little bit more about it when we come back, because I think it's very clear that this man had some kind of an attack, fell into the pen, and that's what happened. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Excuse me.
He's a lady. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He's a lady. Whoa. Look out. Look out, sunshine. He's a lady.
Phil Hendry.
No, I'm not right wing. Welcome back to World Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com. U.S. is tracking killers in attack on Libya mission. And here is on your Phil TV screen, there is the article. And there is a photograph of an individual. And this is an individual who appears to be exulting or is otherwise in a very challenging a very challenging and celebratory stance. He's wearing a T-shirt, and there is a fire behind him, and it looks like the embassy has been trashed. And the caption says, the widely published photograph taken in the aftermath of the attack in Benghazi, Libya, that left the our American envoy and three others dead, appears to capture one potential witness. The United States is laying the groundwork for operations to kill or capture militants implicated in the deadly attack on a diplomatic mission in Libya, senior military and counterterrorism officials said Tuesday, as the weak Libyan government appears unable to arrest or even question fighters involved in the assault. So there is obviously a struggle for power in the Middle East in some countries where there does not appear to be a civilian social order that exerts any real pressure, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, I think it depends upon, I think it really depends upon the country and its established social custom and adherence to law, you know. I mean, there may be countries where this kind of thing is not as likely to happen because the civilian populace is just not going to stand for it. There's going to be a much stronger support for police and army in dealing with it. And there may be countries that the people are not used to taking matters into their own hands because they were led for, you know, in the case of Libya, they were led for decades by a strongman, by a dictator. And there's no, and, you know, if you ask me, well, what country in the Middle East does have a tradition of people taking, the civilian populace controlling policy or to some extent, the police and army, you know, you have the Israelis, Israel.
Yeah, well, they don't count.
Why don't they count?
Well,
yeah, well, I mean, they're not really Middle East, are they?
What do you mean they're not real? What are you talking about?
Well, I think what they're saying is they are Middle East. But are you serious?
Why can't I count? What's wrong with me counting Israel?
Yeah, because they're not of the
because they're not Arab?
Yeah, there you go. They're not Arab. They're white.
They're not Arab. They're white. Look, man, apparently you guys don't know diddly squat about Israel.
What? Wait a minute, Phil. Are you claiming that they're not white people?
I'm telling you right now, if you go to Israel and you look at the people of Israel, they have people there that have darker skin than the Arabs have. There are people, Jewish people in Israel, who are native people. Look. Who were the people that everybody was screaming and yelling about that killed Jesus? They were Jewish, correct?
Yeah, but, I mean...
And where were they?
What are you talking about?
You want me to repeat what I just said?
Well, I mean, what's the point?
My point is that Jewish people have been in the Middle East for thousands and thousands of years, okay? So don't give me this bull crap about they're white people. They're Semitic people, just like the Arab folks of that region. And that is what we mean by anti-Semitic. We have come to believe that, we've come to think that means anti-Jewish. Well, if you're anti-Semitic, you're against the Semitic people of the Middle East. That would include Arabs. Okay.
Well, then why do they call them anti-Semitic?
Because it's a term that is that has come to mean anti-Jewish. The point that I'm trying to make here is the following thing. If there's a tradition in a country in the Middle East of a people, a populace, a civilian tradition of controlling policy, Israel is the obvious question, that the obvious country. And another country that comes to mind, they're not an Arab nation, they're a Persian nation, that's Iran. As much as they have the imam and they have all that jazz, you know, that crap can bull crap they do, you know.
Well, what does, oh my God, you talk about racist.
That wasn't racist.
Well, what does that mean?
What?
What does it mean when you say all that crap can bull crap that they do?
I'm talking about that phony baloney democracy they have in Iran where you can vote on stuff and think that you're in control of your destiny, and there's some dude with a beard down to his belly button who looks like the guy that plays drums for ZZ Top, you know. And,
no, he looks like the bass player.
Yeah, he looks like the bass player in ZZ Top, and, I'm just kidding around, Dusty, if you are listening. But, you know.
Oh, I'm just kidding around, Dusty, if you're listening.
I knew that'd get your goat.
Well, I mean, who do you... You're all of a sudden Mr. Celebrity?
I knew that'd get your goat. I just knew it would.
Well, what do you mean? But do you know ZZ Top?
No, we met Billy Gibbons, came and watched the show one time. Look, will you just listen to what I'm saying? I'm saying that is, I believe that Iran has a very active, very educated, and a motivated populace. So even though they have a dictatorial sort of... a dictatorial kind of power structure. There's an illusion of democracy in Iran, and yet when push comes to shove, there's that guy, there's the guy standing there saying, well, now, my people, we thank you for voting, that was great, but we're still going to keep this scumbag. You know what I mean?
Well, all right, so in other words, if they had a toppling of the regime in Iran...
If there was a top... That's a very good example. If there was a toppling of the Islamic regime in Iran, I do not believe we would see the kind of violence on the streets that we're seeing, for instance, in Libya or in Iraq, for that matter. I think that the people of Iran have a tradition that they have not necessarily given up. You know, that they've kind of kept themselves tightly wrapped around the notion of a democratic society. And I could be really wrong, you know.
Well, Phil, you remember the green wave and the green, I don't know what they call the green, you know, every time I think of what happened in Iran, I have to clear my mind because it starts with green and the only thing I can think of is, and you don't like me talking about it.
About what?
Well, the only thing I think of is a runny bowel movement.
Yeah.
Oh, quit being dramatic.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, when you talk about Iran, what do you talk about?
The green wave, the green revolution.
Yes, but for me, it gets confused. That's all I know.
So in other words, when you think of Iran and you think of the green, your mind stops and it can only go to a runny bowel movement.
Yes. Now, Phil, that is not unusual, and I would say the following thing.
That's disgusting.
I would say the following thing. If you're Iranian and you're listening to my voice this evening, can I just, hold on, Phil. All Iranian...
Turn our microphone down.
I'm sorry. All Iranians listening to me tonight, understand that the green, whatever it was,
the Green Revolution.
All right, Phil, don't talk to me like I'm some child. All Iranians, the Green Revolution, I think, was an inspiration for people around the world. There's no question. But by calling it the Green Revolution, there are some people, myself included. God.
Well, Margaret, you're getting flustered.
It's just that when I try to make a point, myself included, who... Their mind can't get past the word green. Excuse me, Phil. I'm sorry.
You're probably going to have to take another bowel movement.
Would you please keep him away from me?
Well, Margaret, when you belched just then...
I told you. I had apple sausage, the chicken.
What, does that make you belch?
I guess it does, yes. And I apologize, Phil, and I did apologize. And then that one there makes the comment about a bowel movement. Keep it away from me, Phil.
All right, Margaret. I'm just saying...
Keep it away from me. You, Bud.
Yeah?
Get away from me.
Don't you start what you started last night. Don't do it.
I apologize. I'm just telling you.
All right. Well, I've heard enough about you and the Green Revolution, okay? And that's all I want to hear. I don't want to hear any more about it. I don't think it's a problem that most people have. You have it? Great. I'm sorry. You know, that's a rough one.
Well, I'm just trying to say to all Iranians... If I didn't finish. All Iranians... I'm sorry. Please rename your revolution so that individuals like myself can be fully in support of it. And when I read a newspaper article about the Green... You know.
The revolution.
When I read a newspaper article about the Green Revolution, my mind doesn't immediately go to...
Running?
No, I'm not going to say running. A loose and...
Okay. Can you stop, please?
A loose bowel movement. What a child. Quit acting like a child, Phil.
All right.
And by the way, you have no matches, so I'm still looking for matches.
For what?
When I use the toilet.
Margaret, it was over an hour ago.
I understand, but...
Yeah, it's lingering.
Look at you laugh. You are a child, and I want everyone listening to the program tonight to know Phil Hendry is not some intellect. He's a little boy... giggling and laughing behind the scenes.
No, I'm not. I'm disgusted.
Oh, sure. I have to go out and find matches. Excuse me.
Margaret.
Excuse me.
It is lingering, Mr. Henry.
All right, Bud. I've had about enough of this conversation having to do with these private matters on this radio show. And I'll tell you something. Ms. Gray is so into having her, you know, opinions heard and having her entire posture known to the civilized world that she'll talk about anything having to do with her, including the things that she's been talking about tonight, which I don't want to mention.
Bowel movements.
I said I didn't want to mention it and other things. We're going to be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7455.
Truth
and I would
is
like
our
to,
bitch.
No, never mind.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Were you talking about me?
No, I wasn't. Go find your matches. To have that woman killed.
Yes, I would.
Well, Margaret and I were talking about a story we just saw on TV. This is a woman who was a church in the Midwest, right?
Yes, it was a church, and it was a small town church, and there was a pastor there who was a handsome man, and there was a woman working there at the church who had a crush on this pastor. The pastor... did not like the attention. She would leave food, and she would...
Oh, I saw this one.
No, hold on.
Yeah, she would leave food, and she would want to come in and clean up the pastor's residence and things like that. Now, along comes a young lady who becomes a member of the church. She's a very attractive young woman. Nothing's going on between the pastor and the young woman, but she's very troubled. And I guess she was embraced by the congregation... Make a long story short, this woman gets jealous, and she thinks that the pastor is at risk of falling in love with this woman, that this other woman is taken into her mind is a danger or otherwise is a really competing for his affection.
Yeah, and this is all in her mind, right?
All in her mind.
Who was the young lady?
She was just a young woman that had joined the church and was... And also, I think, worked for the church as in some clerical role. Well, this old bag, and that's exactly what she was, some real scary looking, she looks like a wood troll or a wood gnome, you know, Phil?
Yeah, all right, so she's got
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the kinds of... are you familiar with these supernatural creatures?
What do you mean, gnomes?
Yeah, like a gnome or a troll.
I know about gnomes. I've seen all, like ones that they're selling in a gardening department.
Well, the ones they sell in the gardening department I don't think are rendered accurately. Are you, Phil?
No, what are you talking about?
Are you familiar with the supernatural creatures that have been invented or otherwise have been seen by the primitive peoples of the early British Isles before they were Christianized?
Am I familiar?
Oh, Phil, don't make a federal case out of it. Are you, are you not?
I'm familiar with early British, pagan beliefs. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, the pagan beliefs, yes.
Like elves and stuff?
Like elves, yeah. Are you familiar with them?
I'm not familiar with what they look like.
Well, what was the book you... Oh, God, you lie, God.
What do you mean I'm lying?
You said you read a book of early Irish history.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, all right.
All right, thank you.
But that's Irish history, not British.
Well, did they not have a tradition of misshapen dwarfs?
They had a character, a creature, that was some sort of a primordial creature that was believed in by the Irish people, the very primitive Irish people. And he was a dangerous creature.
Well, that's what she looks like.
You know, we could have got... Oh, God, you know.
What's the problem?
Yeah, it's taking so long to spit it out. Mr. Henry's doesn't even know what it is you talk about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so anyway, this lady, you were doing so well until we got up to the subject of Irish gnomes.
Well, that's what she looks like. And this woman walked in, this woman walked in on this poor girl and killed her, shot her and killed her.
Yeah, and I think I know the story you're talking about now.
Yeah, and as they were leading this hanky old gnome off to prison, she says, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it.
That is a real psychopath there, man, you know?
Well, I don't think she'd ever committed a crime before in her life.
Yeah, yes, she did. You missed it.
Yeah, they think maybe she killed her dad or something.
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, because if you looked at that story, this woman's a church woman. Okay, and she's a woman that does this, she volunteers at the church, and so you're thinking, well, okay, cool. Kind of a middle-aged lady, you know, a single woman, I don't think she'd ever been married. Really sort of a dysfunctional person, but not dangerous, or so you would assume. She was one of these church ladies. Well, it turns out after they arrested her for the murder, a cold-blooded murder of a woman who came into this church, and this lady got into her head that this woman was a rival for the affections of the pastor, who had no idea. You know, the pastor was uncomfortable with the attentions that she was giving him, you know, because he didn't want to encourage any of that.
Well, would you?
No. And so she would be leaving food. I mean, I think she had a key to the residence because she was a...
Well, that's the problem right there. She shouldn't have left the door unlocked. He probably wanted her to creep in. I think he probably wanted her to creep in and get in under the covers.
No, he did not, man. She was a cleaning lady. I think she took care of the residents, you know. Wanted her to creep in and get under the covers.
I don't think it's funny at all.
Yeah, he's probably worried. Yeah, a little bit of gnome love.
Yeah, we got some gnome love. All right, take it easy.
You know, I don't think it's funny.
All right, fine. But in any event, this woman, when she got it in her mind that this young lady who had this girl was troubled. I think she'd had a drug problem. She'd had a divorce and, you know, and the congregation rallied around her as a good spiritual community would. And in any event, this other woman got really jealous and walked in on this girl one morning as she was getting ready to start her workday there in the office, the church office, and shot and murdered her, shot her.
In cold blood, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And then splits and goes home and whatever she does. And it didn't take very long to figure out who did it. And she just denied it up and down, man. And then they found out, after they investigated her, they found out that her father had died mysteriously, I think, and her brother, and a gun had been purchased by her. I believe that this gun still was in her possession. So it was a backstory on this woman that was just way out there, man. Really creepy, you know.
Well, I heard you talking to Dan. I thought it was fascinating. And the two of you said, isn't it interesting? Do you ever try to identify who the psychopaths are?
Yeah. And I said to Dan, I said, that's kind of a fun thing to do. You know, the last thing you want to do with a psychopath, though, is let him know that you're onto him. And it isn't, that doesn't mean it's dangerous, but that you, if you let a psychopath know that you're onto them, then they just avoid you. You know, they know that their, you know, their bull crap is not going to work with you. They avoid you, or they otherwise take steps to freeze you out so you don't mess up what it is they're trying to do.
What do you mean? Like try to kill a guy or something?
Take it easy, bud. No. I mean, there's all kinds of psychopaths. They could be the kind of people that just want to manipulate some chick into a relationship because she's got money. They could be the kind of people that just want to bullcrap you because you can do something for them. But if you identify who they are, if you, you know, if you're giving them that long look, if they see you, see them. Because psychopaths are predatory. All they see when they look around them are a bunch of chumps that they are going to take advantage of. And as smart as we all like to think we are, very few of us actually recognize these people. Very few of us, because they are, it's like, think of your best friend, and then think of your best friend sinking a knife into your back. That's how insidious these people are. So if you sort of nail them, you got to remember, you just made yourself an enemy, and I'm not saying they're going to hurt, because most psychopaths are not sadistic, but they will definitely know who you are, and, you know.
It's on.
It's on. All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're online at philhendryshow.com. We've got some more news to get through here this evening, including how Mitt Romney is going to redeem himself. Look at that. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.